Welcome to the latest installment of One Morning I'm Going Home and Going to Bed. Justin Vargo here with Josh Jones. We are recording this episode on Wednesday, October the 10th. Josh is bartending right now. Josh, what are we going with tonight?
We are making some old fashioned.
Going with some old fashioned.
It's a little bit of bourbon and a little bit of bitters, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of water, and a whole lot of drunk.
Hopefully not too much, though.
No. And I've got the orange peel. Got to throw in the orange peel for class.
Yeah.
You got to have the garnish.
You and I need all the help we can get with that.
we scream class.
Yeah. Well, we scream something. We scream three letters in that word. You might have to take the first two letters out. So we're going with the old fashions tonight. And a couple things I want to hit on real quick is it seemed to be the feedback that I got this week is the acoustics deal has been resolved.
Yeah, well, you basically can't hear me, which is that makes everybody happy.
Well, anyway.
No, it was much better to listen to it. Speaking of that, I was listening to the podcast in the car, and Tash's like, "Are you listening to your own podcast?" I was like, "Yes,
absolutely.
I am listening to my own podcast."
Got to critique it.
That is what we're doing, so.
So we did that.
You didn't stir it. You got to stir it. You got to stir it. You got to use
Sorry,
it
man.
Later.
I'm trying to run the show here, okay? Trying to run the
and
show.
Don't forget your fancy orange peel.
Yeah,
make
definitely
sure,
need
sure that.
That yeah, I need that. So we got some new equipment, so we're hopefully this thing's going to be coming through a little better moving forward, even
it's
though
small.
There was yeah. a little issue with the app getting downloaded tonight.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you got the computer, I should have told you to go ahead and by the way, we got a new computer.
Yes,
Justin splurged and got us a new computer we're working out of, which hopefully won't have any issues. We've had sound cutouts and everything, so hopefully this is a new ball game for us. But when you bought it, cause you bought it last week.
I did.
I think it was Friday or something like that. I should have told you to go ahead and download Audacity.
Yeah.
And I didn't. I waited until literally about 30 minutes before I was coming over here.
Yeah.
And and you had a good time with it.
That's putting it lightly. That's putting it lightly. It was not a seamless transition to start with. I sat here for probably 30, 40 minutes trying to get that thing downloaded. And whatever portion of our audience we lost after the coal rush deal last
Did you get
week.
Any feedback on that? I figured we'd get blasted.
No, we didn't get blasted. But I tell you what, we'd have lost the rest of them if that would have been recorded. Because it was so bad, I told you, I was so pissed off that the hamster in Jaina's room actually covered her ears. Because I could not get it to download.
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall.
All the flies left, too. They left the room. So hopefully, moving forward, we'll be good to go. So,
yeah, now it's just a matter of actually getting sponsorships and throwing in commercials and starting my new business this week, so
nice.
Maybe
congratulations.
Thanks, J Square Home Services will be a sponsor here soon, and we'll actually become a real podcast. So
yeah.
Just two idiots talking into a mic.
Well, we'll still be that.
Oh, yeah, sure.
I mean,
we'll just have sound effects. not sound effects, commercials and music.
Well, there's these sound effects.
That's not sound effects. That's reality.
Well, that's true too. That's true too. So we're gonna jump into the show here tonight. Real quick, want to get this out of the way, and you know about this. My son Garrett, who turned 21 in June, actually decided to join the Army, and he left for Fort Benning, Georgia, back in September. And obviously, I haven't had any, wasn't able to talk to him because they don't let them use their phones. So got his address and actually was able to write a couple letters. And
I'm surprised you can write.
Well, the
did,
first
did
couple.
Did you type it up?
No, I actually handwrote it. And I missed my calling as a doctor because I can't read my own handwriting. But I held it together pretty good when he left. But I'll be honest with you, I wrote those first two letters. I lost my shit.
I bet.
Yeah,
it was
tough.
And,
heck. And actually, this last week, I actually got a letter back from him, which was cool.
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing well. He said the first week, 2 weeks were a little rough.
Oh, I bet.
A little rough, but he made it through, and it was actually a cool video you got to see.
Mm-hmm.
Of about, there was probably 30 guys in his company that as they were loading up to go to the base, they got to kind of each give a little
shout out.
5-10 second shout out to the family and that kind of stuff. So that was neat. So pretty proud of him and all he's accomplishing right now. So
absolutely, as you could be.
Definitely wanted to.
He's a fine young man.
He is. I don't know how that happened. Yeah. I don't either.
I mean, hell, you were 4 years old when you had him.
Easy
now.
That
was physically possible.
Easy now. Yeah, I got my high school diploma and went right to the maternity ward.
But with your Clemson hat turned backwards.
Yep.
If I remember correctly.
Yep, you were there.
I was saucy.
Yeah, you got, you were so excited about it. You celebrated getting drunk at Applebee's.
Well, exactly. Well, they told us it's going to be a while, so we went to Applebee's. So that's a natural thing to do. There's no bar at the hospital. You got to go somewhere. We're all of age. Yeah. Well, we were. You weren't.
I was not. No, I was not. So,
my dad was about your age when you had Garrett. He was about 20 years old. And he said they had a big party. They had a party in the waiting room. Yeah. I was bored. Everybody was drunk.
Well, I think if we could have pulled it off, we would have. So, but proud of you, Garrett. Definitely want to give you a shout out. So,
absolutely. So
now that we got that out of the way, we'll jump into a little Kansas recap. I had the pleasure of going up to the game this past weekend. I left here about 6 a.m. on Saturday.
Ooh.
Got my ticket from the Ticketmaster, Jason Steele. So got up there about right at 8:30, and Pat and his wife Ace were there, and Paul Thielen and his wife Nicole, and Keith Mulvihill and his wife Nicole.
I don't know if I ever met Keith.
Keith's a good guy, and
I don't know. He's got poor choices and friends.
Well, that's true. That's true. But they were all there. Coach Gwynn and his dad was there. Coach Gwynn's dad's awesome. I don't know what the hell happened to Coach Gwynn, but I gotta say that because Gwynn actually, I was undefeated in fantasy football, and Gwynn beat me this week, and he started talking shit. So back at you, Gwynn. So they were all there. We got there early, and there had to be 27 kids running around.
Good gracious!
I mean, they all brought their kids, and like I told you last week, that did not slow them down at all. They put in a lot of work between 8:30 and noon.
Yeah, you were texting me. You were lit.
Yeah, it was a good day. It was a good day.
And I knew you were really drunk too, because not really drunk, but you were probably more drunk than normal. But that takes you like 4 days already and didn't get any response. No. I was like,
well, I was networking. I was networking in the blue lot, man. I had my truck in the blue lot. I was networking. So we did that, and Pat, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but when we were at the Charlotte game, the Tennessee game, Pat and Paul were trying to catch an Uber, and they were waiting on Pat to get cigars because the cigar store was not open.
Oh, yeah, 10 in the morning.
Well, he actually brought his cigars this time.
He had to make an emergency run.
No, he was prepared, and probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours before we headed into the game, there was actually a discussion about Pat giving his wife a hall pass with Will Greer. And I don't remember what the trade-off was.
I guess that was pre-three interceptions and a fumble.
Yes, that was before that. So, but then he, as he started kind of talking about it, he was like, you know, I'll probably regret that 20 years from now. So I don't think I'm gonna go down that road. But and actually, after the game, his kids actually got Will Greer's towel.
That's pretty awesome.
And Marcus Sims' gloves,
which I thought was pretty cool.
So yeah, we had a large time in the blue lot. So
that's like I got Jeff Hostetler signed. They beat Oklahoma. My dad went and got him to sign a picture of him. I was like, it's a giant poster. I still had the thing, man. That's something those kids will keep forever.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about. I said, man, your kids will remember that forever. Yeah. So that was the pregame, and I guess now we'll get into a little game review.
Oh boy.
Yeah. You knew it was bad when the first two snaps were terrible and we went three and out.
Well, from what I understand, that wise guy, when he got called on it for twice, he was simulating the snap count. And apparently that threw Jones off on the first two plays.
Is that what it was?
The most concerning about that first play was how hard Will Greer got hurt. He got hit. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, he got blindsided.
He did.
They barely caught it on the screen.
He did.
But he got hit hard.
Yeah, he did.
On that first play. So, yeah, those first three plays were awful. I mean, it was three and out.
It was bad.
And he got hit on every one of those
every
plays.
One of them. And I don't think it's any secret. We still, five games in, I mean, there's a lot of positives. But we have some issues on the offense.
Well, it's right guard. I mean, that's
and center too. I think.
Well, our backup center was playing right guard.
He was. Yeah.
He had to play his very first play in. That's when they got the strip sack in the second half. He went to go block the guy cut out, and he just followed him instead of switching off and catching the guy on the stunt. And that guy just chased Greer, knocked the ball out of his hands, and there was our fourth turnover.
Yeah.
Our right guard. I mean, they planned on Isaiah Hardy redshirting. Then Brown gets hurt, and I guess Burnt didn't play.
He didn't play.
So I guess both of them are hurt. So he had to play Hardy.
Brown will be back this week.
But yeah, they say he got cleared Tuesday, so hopefully he'll be ready to go. We were a lot better, it seemed to be, offensive line when he was in there.
Oh, without a doubt.
And I'll tell you what, the little bit I did notice, I only caught the second half once this week, but when Bucciagrossi was in there at center, I thought we ran better.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how great of a pass protector.
I don't know. So there's a trade-off there.
Exactly. There's a, I mean, except how much we throw.
Yeah.
I don't know. And speaking of running, a lot, you know, we threw those three interceptions in the red zone. The first one was just a bad throw to Seals. He was off balance. He was getting pressure on the right, and he tried to, you know, I guess he had one-on-one coverage, but it was just a bad throw.
It was.
If he throws on the outside of him, it's either incomplete or a touchdown. But he throws on the inside, and the guy picks it. The second one, I can't tell if Jennings.
They were both Jennings in the same spot.
Ran the wrong route.
They were both in the same spot.
It looks to me like he was throwing that slant to Seals, and Jennings took hit cut out. Because he was in the slot, and he took his defender right to the ball.
Right.
So I don't think that ball was for Jennings. They haven't said it. I think that one's on Jennings.
Yeah.
Either that or Jennings saw something that Greer didn't about that, because it would have probably been a touchdown too if he leads him out.
Yeah.
And then the third one was just a very bad read.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, but that's what Kansas was doing.
Mm-hmm.
When they got in the red zone and we got tight, they dared us to throw it to the receivers because they didn't think we would.
Mm-hmm.
They think, and I'm sure they saw a film like that Tennessee game where we forced that ball in double coverage to Seals when Haskins was wide open.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? Our first touchdown, Haskins was wide open. The ball. Other two touchdowns we threw before we got to Seals, garbage touchdown at the end, were there two running backs.
Yep.
Because they were concentrating on the receivers, and they said, go ahead, Roger, if you want to throw it to the other guys, go ahead.
Yep.
And the three times we did, we scored. The three times we didn't, we got intercepted.
I'll tell you the other thing, too, that is a little bit concerning. But, again, up until that Kansas game, those passes inside the 10-yard line, nobody had stopped them.
No.
Nobody had stopped them. But I think that also plays to the narrative that we do not have a lot of confidence in our running game.
No, we can't run. And that's what it all comes down to. We get the ball down on the first and goal line, we try to run a running play, and we lose yardage.
Can't do it.
I mean, you can't. We can't do that. We can't. You're going to have to score in tight windows in the red zone, and it helps if you can at least have a somewhat of a semblance of a running game.
Yeah, I mean, we ended up with 177 yards. I mean,
but a lot of that's in between the 20s.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, a lot of that's big runs, which are fine, but when you get down to the red zone, you've got to be able to run the ball in tight spaces, and wait, our line can't do it right now.
No.
They just can't do it.
No, they can't.
So we revert to the pass, and that's why I wouldn't be surprised if you see more two tight end sets as opposed to West, which we thought at the beginning of the year we would do.
Mm-hmm.
When we got in the red zone and we got tight, we'd line up with our two tight ends and make a matchup problem with linebackers trying to guard them.
Yep.
Or smaller defensive backs. And we haven't really done that.
Mm-mm.
Which is kind of surprised me. We still line up four wide and we throw slants and fades.
Yep.
I'm guessing that will change. It's worked, so I can understand them not changing it to this point. But this weekend, Kansas said, we're going to guard your wide receivers in here. You better throw it to somebody else.
Yep.
And when we did, we scored.
Yep, we did. We did. So, obviously, we had some issues on offense. But a couple bright spots on defense. Derek Pitts played great.
Man's a safety.
He's a safety.
I mean, he's a safety. He's going to be an all-conference safety.
Yeah.
No, see, he's a player. He got that one, that touchdown run they got in the, I guess it was the first drive of the second half, where he got – the guy put a move on him in the hole and Pitts whipped. But that's the only mistake I saw him
make. Played, he was our second leading tackler.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
He and Norwood are probably going to be our sperm bandit next year.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm wondering who's going to be. I guess Washington will be our corner next year. Maybe Adams will step up. I don't know. Or we can recruit somebody. But Washington had a bad game, I thought.
He did.
I mean,
he didn't play a lot in the second half.
Speaking of Washington, Can I vent for a second here?
Sure.
What the hell was that one play where we dropped 11 people?
I have no idea. Well, here we dropped 11 people,
and Washington still gave a pass over
here's
top.
What happened. Because Gibby said he thought they were going to call a screen. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. You drop 11 on a screen, you're still way downfield.
The quarterback should at least be playing deep.
I didn't get that either.
It was third and 15.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Third and 15, we dropped them. I have never seen anybody drop 11, and we dropped 11 and still gave up third and 15.
And I bet you don't see it again anytime soon.
I would hope not.
No, you don't see it.
I screamed at the TV for a good 10 minutes.
I'll tell you what, the tip pass that David Long had that Ezekiel Rose intercepted was badass.
That was badass.
That was awesome. That was awesome. And
speaking of Ezekiel Rose, what's up with that hair?
I don't know. He can wear his hair however he wants to. If he plays like that, I'm good with it. And, I mean, defensively, up until that last drive when they scored that garbage touchdown, they only had 211 yards.
Yeah. I mean, I thought our defense overall played really well. We gave up a drive at the end of the first quarter. They scored one. We gave up a drive at the very beginning of the second half, which included that third and 15 play, which is stupid. And then in the very end of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, our defense played pretty well.
8 tackles for loss, 2 picks, 3 sacks. Puka, who is a player. That kid's a player.
They need to give him the ball more. I don't know why they didn't.
Well, he only had 65 yards.
Yeah.
Rushing. He had 80 total yards. So we did that. I'll tell you something else I liked was – we actually, on the zone read, Greer kept it that one time.
Yeah.
Which actually, because obviously he's not going to run the ball very much.
No, but you got to give him that
ball. You got to keep him honest. Exactly. And he did that. And the play, when they ran the fake, and he's coming to the line of scrimmage, and he threw back to Seals.
Yes. I love that play. Yeah, that's an awesome short yardage play.
That was awesome.
And that's the design, because they had the other wide receiver out there blocking.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the design. He was designed to throw that.
I like that.
I like that play a lot, too.
I like that a lot.
I don't think we'll see that often, but it is a good look.
Yeah, it's a great look. And at the end of the game, Gibby was pissed about the 2-point conversion on the last touchdown.
Untimed down.
But, and you and I talked about this, I mean, we, there was 2 minutes left in the game and we threw a touchdown pass.
Yeah, exactly. So, we did a Marshall touchdown there too.
Yeah,
so.
We kind of opened the door for that. And the last thing real quick too was Staley hit a career long 49 yard field goal.
Yeah, it was good. Oh, yeah, that one he tried the game before was 50-some yards. He hit the uprights. He has plenty of
legs. Well, we should have never tried a field goal on that.
Yeah, scenario. Exactly. That's the thing about it is I have more faith in our offense anywhere 4th and 10 below when you're around the 50-yard field goal range than I do him.
Yeah.
And nothing against him. I just do.
Yeah.
Can I bring up some penalties?
Sure.
Well, our offense penalties are out of control.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, between false starts and holdings, it's putting us in bad situations. We're moving the ball, and that's when we seem to get out of sorts, and when we have some sort of stupid penalty, and it's mainly our offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
which is obviously the weakest part of our offense.
And that's, I think that's what the epiphany I had from this game was throughout. We're not quite, what about quarter of the season, third of the season in?
Yeah. So, well, no, hell, we're halfway through.
What we have found out so far is our offense isn't nearly as good as we thought it was going to be, because we thought it was going to be spectacular. And our defense is way better than we thought it was.
I think our offense could still be spectacular.
I think it can, too. It has the potential, and it should be.
Yeah.
But it has not performed at that level. Mm-mm. Now,
you see flashes.
And that said, Will Greer had his worst game, probably as a Mountaineer, and he still threw for 4 touchdowns and 332 yards. We still had 509 yards of offense. So when I say our offense is not as good as we thought it was going to be, that's what the disclaimer that we thought they were going to be fantastic and average like 45 points a game, which they still could.
They still could. Let's face it. I mean, is he going to throw 3 red zone interceptions in any other game this year?
No.
No,
he's not.
And it gets back to the fact you take the good with the bad with him because he thinks he can make every throw, and he can.
Yeah.
But sometimes you got to take into account the defense is going to adjust,
right?
And Kansas played that umbrella kind of a deal where they had, they kind of surrounded the back end of the
exactly. They watched the receivers, and that's where he's got to become less predictable and hit his other options, Which, when he did, when he hit Haskins, they had nobody around Haskins.
No.
And they had nobody around Pettaway.
Nope.
I mean, and the other one was Letty Brown. And that was the guy covered him, but it was just Letty Brown just outran him.
Yep.
So, I mean, those are the plays when you get in the red zone, I think you're going to see a lot more of. If people are going to try, if they're going to double team our wide receivers, we should have too many options for you to cover.
I think so, too. Huh. I think so, too.
But
so.
That comes with the caveat is offensive line has also got to give him time. He was sacked. Five times?
Five times, yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Now, two of them, he held the ball too long.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to throw the ball away. But again, with Joe Brown coming back this week, hopefully we'll see an uptick in the performance of the offensive line. And we're going to have a good test this weekend. So that closes the door on Kansas.
Can I mention one more thing? We got two very favorable reviews. For as many times as we seem not to get favorable reviews.
You talking about the one with Marcus Sims?
Both of them. Yeah. Because one of them, it looked to me, when I watched it again, the kickoff after they scored in the second half, and he runs it back to like the 40-yard line, it looks to me like he fumbles. And if they would have called it a fumble, I don't think they would have overturned it. No. I think they would have let that be a fumble. And then that pass play over the middle, where I swear that ball might touch the ground, but if they would have called that an interception – they wouldn't overturn that one either.
Probably not.
We got lucky what they called originally because those wouldn't have been overturned if they called them the opposite way.
No. But it wasn't a pretty game, but it's a win.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a win.
It's a win.
Like I said, I think one thing we proved, one thing we keep proving is that our defense is better than way better than we thought it was going to be this year. Of course, we're going to have holes in it. People are going to score on us at times. But they're going to get stomps throughout the game.
Yeah.
And our offense is just not playing up to potential that we thought they would be.
No one is going to stop our offense except us.
Yeah, exactly. And we are our own worst enemy when it comes to offense.
Yep.
Without a doubt.
So that's Kansas. And I guess we'll take a little break, get into some Big 12 recap, and go over a couple other things.
Sounds good. Welcome back to One More I'm Going Home and Going to Bed. Let's talk a little Big 12 recap. It was an interesting weekend on the old Big 12.
Yeah, big weekend for the Big 12. Of course, the Red River Showdown was obviously the marquee game with Texas knocking off Oklahoma in the No Defense Bowl, 48-45.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
And
they actually were up 21 in the third quarter.
Let me tell you something. I tried to flip them and watch a little bit of it. Oklahoma had no answer for Texas offense. No answer. I mean, I got a feeling that
Ellinger had five touchdowns total.
Yeah, we could have picked up 27 the kids at the tailgate with you, and probably could have scored on Oklahoma's defense.
Nice.
As you can see that that's probably the reason why they fired Mike Stoops.
Yeah,
which
I saw
was
that.
Probably a
saw
year
it.
Too late.
Yeah, saw
they
that.
They probably should have fired him last
saw
year.
Saw that. Yeah.
Listen, on the way over here, about Tony Creedy was on talk. Whatever the show is on
Sportsline.
No, it wasn't Sportsline. It was a show before that, but. He was talking about how it might have been better if they had kept Mike Stoops.
Been better for us, yeah.
Because, you know, McRuffin, he's a pretty good coach.
He was the head coach of East Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, he's more offensive winner, I think, than people give him credit for when he was over at East Carolina. But, I mean, he was an okay defensive coach. I think he's going to be okay.
He was. That definitely makes things interesting in the Big 12.
Yeah, well, now, man, Texas, I can't believe how far Texas went up in the rankings. I mean,
everybody drank the Kool-Aid pretty quick.
They drank the people just forgot about how bad they looked against Maryland.
Mm-hmm.
And out of it, they didn't look that great in the second half against Kansas State.
No, they only scored 19 points in the whole game.
Yeah, that was all in the first half. Mm-hmm. So I think they give them a lot of credit for hanging on against Oklahoma and scoring against Oklahoma's god-awful defense. Yeah. But I'm still not sold on Texas. They got talent. But I guarantee you, when it gets to a tight game, Ellinger's going to throw some interceptions. And I still think I'm still less concerned about that game than I am against Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Even though it's on the road and everything. Yeah. I still have more faith in us beating Texas at Texas than I do us beating Oklahoma. Because there's a space that we haven't proven we can beat Oklahoma.
Guess who the only undefeated team is in the Big 12?
That's us.
That's us.
Guess who's the only team in the country never do a FBS team never have trailed all year?
That'd be us.
That would be us. And we knew you talked about this earlier this week. I don't care who you played.
No.
That's a pretty good stat.
Well, here's the other thing, too. I'm jumping around here. We are in the top 25 in scoring offense and in scoring defense.
One of only, five or six teams in the country?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't care who you played.
That's good. That's, man.
There's something to be said for
that. We're a good team. Are we an elite team? I don't know yet. We haven't played like it.
We'll see.
But we're a good team.
But I tell you what, though. We've played, and I know our schedule has, I think our schedule is 110 right now.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's not real good. Of course, Texas Tech was, and we'll get into that whole deal here in a minute. But we've done what we needed to do, and we've had a couple games where we've not played our best.
Yeah.
We've collapsed, and we've let our teams back in the game, and we still found a way to win, which is not what we've done in the last
exactly.
5 years.
Exactly. We have – the games that we have not played well in, we have lost.
Yes.
So the fact that we have not played well for a game and a half and still managed a pretty good significant margin of victories
– yeah.
Say something about
it. I'll take it. The other two games in the Big 12 this weekend, Iowa State obviously went on the road and knocked off Oklahoma State.
Now, I watched that game more than I watched the Texas-Oklahoma game.
48-42.
And I'll be shocked if they go back to camp at quarterback. Unless they on Redshirt and Purdy.
I don't think camp's been cleared.
I read today that he's still questionable, but WU expects him to play.
I don't think he's going to play. Iowa State, there was a beat writer for Iowa State on Sportsline last night, and he said he would be absolutely shocked.
I don't know why they would. Why are you going to rush him back now?
If Purdy doesn't play.
I mean, you got Purdy's going to play at home against as much of defense as improved and played better. They're still not one of the top defenses in the country. Why wouldn't you play
him? Nah, you play him.
You play him.
You got to play him. You got to ride the hot hand.
And I'll tell you something. He's a short guy, but he throws a pretty pass.
Yeah.
He's a stocky little guy. Kind of looks like Skylar Howard. Anybody throws those ball a lot better than Skylar Howard.
Well, that's a low bar.
So let me tell you something. They're going to score, but we're going to score against them.
Yes.
They played two good offenses this year. They played Oklahoma State this past weekend, and Oklahoma State scored
42.
Oklahoma scored 37-38. So we're going to score. Mm-hmm. We're going to have 35 to 45 points. It's just a matter if our defense, which I think it can get stumps.
Yep, that's the key.
Will Montgomery be back? Have you heard? We'll
get into that in the Iowa State preview, but I don't think he's going to play either. No. I don't think he's going to play. No. And then the only other game was Baylor beat Kansas State 37-34.
Didn't care, didn't watch any of it.
Nope.
Don't even know the score.
And Texas Tech and TCU were off. Yep. And the big news is we moved up to the sixth in both polls. And if you'd have told me a month ago.
I'd hit you with something.
That with 5 games in, which we thought we'd be 6 games in, but 5 games in, we would be number 6 in the country. You take that because it's all in front of you now.
It's all. We thought when we started the year, said, come November, we should be a top 10 team.
Yeah, top 10.
Yeah, we're 6 and it's we're October.
And let me tell you something. Georgia plays at LSU this weekend.
They could easily lose.
Which they could easily lose. So, I mean, there's going to be some opportunities there. And this is a neat stat that you sent me. We are the only team in the country this year, over this calendar year, to climb to number 2 in the rankings in basketball and number 6 in football.
Yeah, well, I think we're the only team that was in the top 6. If you just count top 6. That's impressive program.
That's very impressive.
And wouldn't be surprised if the basketball team at some point in time reaches the top 10 next year. Basketball team's going to be a lot better than people are giving them credit for.
Basketball team's
going to
be good.
They're going to be good. I'm going to tell you something. McCabe's going to be really good. We got depth everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be – and I don't know if you've seen any videos of that Culver kid.
He's a beast.
He's a man.
He's a beast.
I mean,
he's
a man.
Beast, man.
He makes Kanani look small.
Yeah. And we already know what Sags can do.
I mean, he's a man.
So, speaking of that, let's just talk – Oscar was in town this weekend.
Yep, to Shibui.
Yep.
Did I say that right?
Shibui. The T is silent.
Okay. I don't care. You can spell it with a G as long as it comes to WU.
Yeah, but he had a good visit, evidently. He didn't commit, but the Kentucky people are a little bit nervous. They didn't pull the trigger when he was in Lexington last weekend. Of course, it was probably... He's probably a little hesitant to pull the trigger when they didn't even know what he looked like.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'd say that may have played a role. But he evidently is going to announce, the 21st?
21st.
Yeah.
Sunday after next.
Yeah, and I told you earlier, I was looking on Rivals, and one of the main Kentucky recruiting guys that follows recruiting for Kentucky said that he'd be shocked if Shweeboy didn't come to Morgantown.
And they're still in the hunt for that other guy who's the number one ranked player in the country. So I don't think they'll be too terribly upset if they lose.
No.
Shibui, but if we lose him, we will be devastated.
Yeah, we'll be devastated.
They asked Hunter on the sports line the other day if this last weekend was the biggest recruiting weekend.
I went through the roof when I heard him say that.
He tried to poo-poo it.
I could not believe he said that.
Yes,
he was like, Hunter, what in the hell are you talking about?
I mean, yes.
He's the 21st ranked recruit in the United States of America. And Hunter was like, well, we only had one guy in. We didn't have five guys.
Yes,
I don't give a shit if you didn't have five guys in.
That's because we're only recruiting one guy. That's the best reason why.
I mean, come on, Greg Hunter. Hunter, you're better than that.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. He's the biggest recruit possibly we've ever had. Because they didn't really have rankings back in the old time. So it could be the biggest recruit we ever had. He feels the need with Konate probably leaving next year.
Yeah, Konate's gone.
And we just talked about this before we recorded today. We're going to be good at basketball next year.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be really good at basketball next year.
Well, you figure you lose Sags, and you lose Issa, and that's it.
That's it.
That's all you lose.
Yeah, and as far as Issa has played this year, or this last 3 years, we ain't missing much.
Nope.
So, if
other than a failed drug test.
Exactly. If Shuiwei's good as they say he is, and he looks every bit as good as they say, not only is he talented, but he plays hard.
He does.
Which is what makes him special.
Yeah.
He'll fit right in, and with a year seasoning for McCabe and Napper, and I mean, we're just going to be loaded from head to toe.
Loaded. Emmett Matthews.
Yeah, I mean, I am really looking forward to basketball season. I can't wait for it to get started, just so we can have football and basketball talking about
it'll be
on
awesome.
The podcast.
It'll be awesome. Yeah. It'll be awesome. You want to hit on some playoff scenarios? I mean, we
the playoff scenarios are this. It's going to, unless something crazy happens, which, that, granted, I know something usually always does. Somebody, Notre Dame will lose to Northwestern or something like that. But more than likely, it's going to be either two SEC teams, Notre Dame and who am I missing here?
Clemson.
And Clemson.
Ohio State.
I mean, that's there's five groups in the running. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is on the outside looking in.
Yep.
Even if we go undefeated, unless Clemson, Ohio State, or Notre Dame loses, we're not getting in.
Well, it'll be interesting because I'd be surprised if we're undefeated and we get left out unless there's five teams that are undefeated. Now, if there's five teams that are undefeated, there's a chance we could get left out. But if Clemson loses a game, if Ohio State loses a game, and let's face it, I think I saw something today. Our strength of schedule in November is ranked third in the country.
Yeah.
So you win.
And we should. I mean, we should get in. I'm just saying it's a TV thing. The playoff is a TV thing. And if they have their choices of it, it's going to be Notre Dame, Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, and throw one other SEC team.
The good thing about Notre Dame is if they stub their toe, they will not be a conference champion because they don't play in a conference.
Exactly. But their schedule is so bad. I mean,
their two big wins are Michigan and Stanford, and they're both terrible.
Well, Virginia Tech, they beat last weekend.
Who was also terrible.
Who lost to Ole
ODU.
I mean, they made me so mad, and I think our buddy Dave Turner brought this up. I didn't root for Pitt, but he said he made him root for Pitt and Virginia Tech on back-to-back weekends.
No.
I actually didn't root for, but I was hoping Virginia Tech would beat them.
Now, here's what you do. You root for Notre Dame to lose. You don't root for Virginia Tech to win.
I didn't even watch the game. I watched the other games and just kind of kept track of the score.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah, so that's – I mean, that. Let's just face it. If Notre Dame's anywhere close, they're getting in. If Clemson goes undefeated, they're getting in. If of course, Alabama's – nobody's beating Alabama.
Nope.
Georgia probably will get in. Even with a loss of Bama, they can still get in. And Ohio State plays nobody. They got Michigan. You know, that's probably their toughest game left.
And I think they play them at home.
Yeah, and then who are they going to play from the other side?
Wisconsin?
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
We're going to have to go undefeated and make the committee sweat it out and try to get – and our big push is going to be let somebody else in. It's been the same – excuse my language – fucking four teams every year, seems like.
But
can we get some other teams in there?
Other teams in here. But
can we not expand it to eight games?
Here's the best thing about this whole argument. It's right there in front of us. We're in the conversation.
Exactly.
And that's all you have to
add. I'll tell you what, though. The fact that everybody's already given Texas the best chance of winning out because they play us at home just irritates me to death.
We're going
to
hit that in about 2 seconds.
All right.
only got one question this week, and I'll let you, you want to read that one from Angela Garvin?
Yep. The question, Angela Garvin from Florida, listening to us in Florida. You know, originally from here, moved to Florida. Right. Love her dad, wonderful golfer, only goes on the golf course with three clubs. Walks it every evening.
That's impressive.
Weekend, yeah. I started a little walking group, him and Coach Davis. It's actually pretty good. She had a question for the podcast. It's long, so bear with me. Even though, of course, she is good friends with Shannon and Aaron, so you got to be long-winded to be friends with them.
Angela, you need a better circle.
Even though we won the game, the three turnovers in the first half in the red zone were not good for our team, let alone Greer. How do you think this game will factor into his Heisman consideration? Second, okay, two questions. We clearly need to make some adjustments before going into November. What do we need to do before we start our November schedule with Texas? They looked extremely good today, and a team that we were today would not beat the team that they were today on the field. And once again, great job, guys. I won't be offended if you don't answer my questions. I'm sure there may be better ones who know a lot more than I do. And that's not true. She actually knows a lot more than most of our friends.
That was a great question.
You were over the Heisman, or what do we need to do to get better?
Is Greer out of the running for the Heisman? No, he's not.
No. Did it hurt? Yes.
It hurt, but again, he's going to have – his biggest opportunity to make noise in the Heisman race is going to be in November. Now, that being said, they have already pretty much given the award to Tua from Alabama. And again, he throws probably 13 passes a game. He completes 10 for 400 yards and 5 touchdowns. So, I mean, he and Haskins from Ohio State is putting up big numbers.
Yeah, he's putting up big. But if anything showed you the who they played 2 weeks ago that they should have lost to, why am I drawing a blank? But if you get him off his spot, if you make him run, he's inaccurate as can be.
And you talking about Tua?
Yeah, no, Haskins from Ohio State. I'm not worried about Ohio State as much, or Haskins. Tua, they talk about him every week. He's on every show.
Mm-hmm.
He only plays a half and a three quarters. He never gets hit. And let's face it, he throws a pretty good looking pass.
He does.
So I mean, I don't know.
I mean, he's a good player.
On Alabama.
There's no doubt. But I mean, if you really look at leadership and mechanics and who can make all the throws, it's not even close.
No, but is that what they're looking at?
No,
they're not watching the games. They're watching the highlights, and that's, you know, they showed a couple of our highlights in the college football final. And of course, they showed a couple of interceptions. And the bottom line throughout the day, I don't know if you know, you didn't because you were gone, was Greer throws 3 interceptions and a lost fumble. That was the Bible's art. Yeah. You know, they usually have stats or something like that. That's what was our.
But here's the thing. Okay, he threw 3 interceptions. That's fine. Well, I mean, it's not fine, but it is what it is. He still has 21 touchdowns and 6 interceptions on the year. And I think Haskins has 24 touchdown passes for the year.
Yeah.
And Greer's played one less game.
Yeah.
So,
and he's going to play one last game.
And he's going to play one last game, but I still think he's in the conversation. I think he's got some ground to make up. And
well, here's the thing. I'm not putting all our eggs in him winning the Heisman.
And I don't think he is either.
We'd love to see it, yes. I think it'd be better. His best chance of winning the Heisman is us going undefeated.
Yep.
So let's just win ball games.
Let's win ball games.
And then we'll go from there. But as of right now, the course, you know, the pundits also gave it to Geno. This time, you know,
true.
In 2012.
That's true.
So you never know what might happen with Tua, but if he continues like plays like he is, I don't care if he only plays a half every game. That's
his. Yeah, he's
good. It's as simple as that.
And the second part of the question was about Texas.
What we got to do to get better to prepare for November, you know, starting with Texas?
Well, we have to shore up the right side of our offensive line.
I think that is it.
I think the other thing, too, is going to be getting – Ferns and Qualls back.
Give us some depth at linebacker. I think Pitts is going to be wonderful at safety. I think he's going to give us a lot of flexibility with do things on defense. I think we'll take advantage of it. As much as Phil Lake hates Akeem Bailey, he played pretty good this weekend.
He
wasn't terrible.
He was less bad.
I guess Washington got on Gibby's shit list with that after giving up that 3rd-and-15 play. I don't think he played after that. I'm pretty sure it was just.
He had. I think you and I talked about this. He had 26 snaps for the game, and I think the majority of those were in the first half.
Yeah, I don't think he played much. I think he gave it that 3rd-and-15 play with that pass over top, and I don't think he played the rest.
No, because you got to remember Norwood set out the first half.
Yeah,
so Norwood came back in and he played corner.
Yeah, and Bailey was,
and then Bailey was on the other side.
I am pretty sure that I don't think he gave. I don't think he played after that. So if we just keep doing what we're doing on defense, we don't have to be a great defense. We just got to be a good defense, and our offensive line's got to hold up and give Greer time and a running back some holes.
There's the play where we dropped 11. We got the Kansas game on TV.
We're watching the replay as we're doing the podcast. Sorry, I still hate that play.
I know, it was a bad play.
But answer your question is, shore up the offensive line, keep doing what we're doing.
And cut down the turnovers and the penalties.
Yeah, turnovers and penalties, I think, is the biggest adjustment we've got to make.
Yeah.
And, you know, I have full faith that we can do it.
I do.
I mean, maybe I'm a little Pollyannish.
It's all fixable stuff.
Exactly.
It's all stuff that we can fix. So, and to kind of piggyback off of what Angela asked, and thank you, Angela, for asking those questions. I was listening to SiriusXM radio today on my way back from Charleston, and they were talking about the Heisman Trophy, and they mentioned five guys, and one Greer's name did not come up. Which, okay, whatever. I don't agree with that. But they keep talking about Trace McSorley
The
Heisman Trophy.
Oh, come on.
I mean, give me a break.
Oh,
he's
man.
Completing, what, 50% of his passes?
Yes.
I'll give you Tua. I'll give you Haskins. And Kyler Murray's putting up big numbers. That's fine. I get all that. But if you watch football, and you don't even have to know anything about football, and you watch McSorley play football, and you watch Greer play football.
Yes, exactly.
It's like watching JV and varsity.
Exactly right. Trace McSorley is Skylar Howard with better talent around him.
Yes.
That's exactly what he is. Because he'll take now, he's gritty, which Skylar Howard was. He's competitive like Skylar Howard was. But Skylar didn't have the talent on him where he could just make a short throw and the guy could run forever.
Exactly.
I mean, that's...
exactly.
I mean, that's the difference between them two.
Yeah.
So that's yeah. Oh, I can't believe I'm glad
that pissed me off. And the bad thing about it is, of the shows on that channel, I mean, McElroy and Zarzer in the morning is tough. How Chris Chivers has a show is beyond me. Mark Packer's good, but those guys usually at 1 o'clock slot are pretty good. But when I was listening to that on the way home, I about came unglued.
Yeah.
And last thing, David Pollack.
Oh, that son of a bitch. Let me tell you something. It was yesterday. And we were watching it on the couch with me and my girlfriend. We were sitting there watching College Football Live. And that came up, and he said, verbatim, we don't have any – who they play? We don't have any good players on defense.
No players on defense.
And I started yelling at the TV, and Tasha said, are you really yelling at the TV? I was like, yes, because that guy, he's a wasted, washed-up linebacker from Georgia who obviously has never watched any of our games to think that we don't have a good player on defense. And – he must think that Texas Tech is the worst offense and one of the worst offenses in America. I got word for him. They're one of the better ones.
Here's the funny part. When we played Texas Tech, they were the number one total offense team in the country.
Yeah.
And you saw the first half. Now, granted, they switched quarterbacks and we got off kilter. And I know that you can't just say, well, here's a half and you got to take the whole game into account. But we shut them down.
Yes. Yes.
Don't tell me we don't have players.
That just shows me for college football fucking expert, he doesn't watch a fucking game.
No.
I mean, what?
Well, he
watches
all
the big games.
Well, he thought David Long was his first year.
Oh my God! I mean, yeah. I am now officially off the David Pollack bandwagon. I will now cuss him like I did Mark May for all these years.
Were you? Well, honestly, were you ever on the David Pollack bandwagon?
No, but I wasn't. You know, I didn't have any. I wasn't anti-David Pollack. I am now officially anti-David Pollack.
But I'll tell you what. As
In fact, that might be my new fantasy football name. David Pollack is a fucking idiot.
as bad as that was, and I told you this before we started, I kind of like it because I was looking on Rivals earlier, and most of our defensive players have already retweeted that video.
Good.
Which means they're going to take that shit personally.
Well, they should take it personally.
And I hope they take it out on Iowa State.
I took it personally.
And everybody else we have left on the damn schedule.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
All right, let's go settle down for a second, and we'll talk a little Iowa State preview.
Sounds good. Welcome back to One More. I'm going home and going to bed. We're going to get into a little Iowa State preview here. Talk a little Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy.
He had a big game last week. He 18 of 23 for 318 yards, 4 touchdowns. And listen to this. 19 carries, 84 yards and a touchdown.
I mean, he's good.
Yeah.
I mean, for a true freshman, I can't believe they waited this long to play him. I guess they were trying to hold on to him. Maybe he needed to learn the offense a little bit better. But yeah, he's impressive.
Yeah.
Now, some of that might be Oklahoma State defense is quite poor. But
that's got a little, good. That's got a little bite to it.
Yeah, it's a little strong. Yeah. They're getting a little stronger as Mike. The first one was stronger. They're getting a little stronger as Mike is long.
They're pouring with a little heavy hand over on the other side of the couch. But they also had 8 receivers caught passes last week for them.
Yeah.
And their defense,
they got 2 tall receivers, too.
Well, I'll hit on that here in a second. Their defense last week, I don't know if you saw this, 7 sacks, 16 tackles for loss. 16. I mean, I don't care who you're playing.
Hopefully, with Brown being back, offensive line plays better. It's going to be a night game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Kevin Randall is going to be loud and crazy because they just came off beating Oklahoma State. You know, I was kind of hoping Oklahoma State would beat the crap out of them and just demoralize them so they wouldn't have anybody show up at the game.
Yep.
But that did not happen.
No.
So, but, you know, in that case, it might still work out in our favor. We've had a game and a half. You know, we played poorly. Maybe we'll come out fired up, ready to play, you know, firing all cylinders and do what we should
do. We're a better
team than them.
Yep.
We're favored to beat them. The actual line went up.
Line started at 4.5, up to 7.
Yeah, so people are betting on us. So we are the better team. We just got to go out Saturday night and prove it.
Prove it, yep. And they play a similar scheme as us. They use that 3-3-5 stack. Well, I don't know if they use 3-3-5 that much, but they play a little bit of umbrella.
Yeah, it's some sort of alteration.
It's a variation of it, which is good. And I think, based on what I heard yesterday, David Montgomery will not play.
Well, that's good. That guy, even Holgerson said, like, he's an All-American / NFL prospect.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's heard us before. Well, actually, we played him pretty well, if I remember, last year.
Yeah.
I thought we controlled him pretty good.
We did.
I'm not concerned about our run defense.
No.
I think our run defense is
you know why?
Better than
because we're good up front.
Exactly.
Which is what we have not been in the last 10 years.
And despite what David Pollock thinks, we have one of the best linebackers in America.
David Pollock, whatever. He's a
but I think our defense is a matter of we got to confuse him.
Mm-hmm.
We got to blitz him. But we got to make tackles, too.
You got to tackle
in open space. So I'll be interested to see who starts at cornerback. I'm guessing Norwood and Bailey.
Well, it's going to be interesting because they actually asked Gibby yesterday about how you defend that 6'6 receiver that they've got.
Yeah.
And he said that his initial plan was to put Norwood on Washington's shoulders and see how that goes. I don't know if that's legal.
I hope it's Norwood and Washington because even though Washington had a kind of a bad game last game, he's still, I think, better than Bailey.
I think our
best 2 cornerbacks going forward are going to be Norwood and Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Pitts is designed to be a safety.
He's a safety.
I mean, he should just be a safety. They're probably going to – I heard he's going to split time this week with Avery, which is fine by me, because he's a player out there at safety.
Oh, without a doubt.
I mean, he's just a player. I actually kind of wish, and this is going to sound like blasphemy at this point in time, I wouldn't mind him playing a little bit in Drayvon Askin Henry's place, because for as much as he should be our senior leader and our best – defensive players
should be at the spur. He has lapses.
I mean, for a senior who is talented, who started as a true freshman, he struggled.
He does. You mentioned earlier there's a night game in Ames this weekend with us in Iowa State, and I couldn't help but find the irony in the fact that as much as we raised hell last week about the coal rush, they're going to have a blackout.
Yeah, they're going to have a blackout.
They're going to have a blackout.
Oh, they finally – I heard that was the rumor, but I don't know if they were actually going to do it.
Well, the guy that was on Sportsline last night said he would be shocked if they didn't come out in all black uniforms. So,
they had them for this year.
Yeah.
They apparently ordered them for a game, and why not? It's, you know, Tim Brando's calling the game. They've got a pretty good crew calling
great
the game.
Crew.
So, it should be a good one. It should be a lot of fun. It's going to suck waiting around all Saturday to play.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
That's the worst part about playing an evening game away. It's just waiting around. You know, if it's at home, at least you can go tailgate.
Right,
you know?
Right. And I looked at their schedule. I mean, they're 2-3. But they lost by 10 points at Iowa. Mm-hmm. They lost by 10 points to Oklahoma at home. And then they got beat by 3 points at TCU.
Yeah.
Which that game could have gone either way.
Yeah.
So I don't think their record is indicative of how competitive of a team they are.
No, no. I think our offense is better than Oklahoma's. Not better. I'm sorry. The same as Oklahoma's. And I think our defense is better than Oklahoma's. So I put us on par with them. Now, Oklahoma also had a little bit of more fire in the belly because Iowa State beat them last year, which I hope our team remembers.
Yep.
That Iowa State beat Oklahoma last year. So, but, like, I go back to if we're the team we think we are and we think we should play for the Big 12 championship, you go in and you win this game.
You take care of business.
Yeah, I mean.
Take care of business. Now, here's the other question. And I'm not sure. I mean, Holgorsen's, he plays everything close to the vest with injuries. Do we see Singfield back this week?
I don't know. I mean, I think he gives us a dimension in our running backs we don't have, which is that
extra gear.
Extra gear, yeah, that little burst, maybe a little outside run game. Which our best option right now, I guess, is McCoy, who surprisingly is a better inside runner.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if you'll see him back or not. I mean, he looked like he got hurt pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm just happy Haskins is back to full health and West Coast healthy. I wouldn't be surprised you see a lot more tight end passes.
Two tight end sets.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you something else I saw this week I thought was neat. So far this year through five games, we have had 10 guys catch a touchdown pass.
Yeah.
Last year, you know how many we had?
Huh.
Five.
Really?
Five.
I can believe it, man. I mean, we are spreading out with the running backs, tight ends.
We got depth at receiver.
We got depth at receiver. I mean, Hulk said this week he thought that, you know, he's really happy with our receiver depth. I think Tevin Bush would have had a big game this past week if he didn't get hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, a couple times he touched the ball was dynamic.
Yeah, he's tough.
He is a little bit of a player. I wish we could find more ways to get him touches.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get him, you know, six touches a game, but
that'd be good.
You know, we only get him like once or twice.
Sam James played a lot last week. Did you notice that?
I did not notice that.
Yeah. I think that's his second, might be his third game, so he's still got a game or two where they can kind of play. He's number 81.
He's a true freshman.
And he can fly.
Receiver. He can fly.
He's got Marcus Sims.
I did not notice that. Yeah. I didn't. Yeah, what number is he?
81.
I'll go back and check
yeah,
that out.
He played a lot in the second half.
That's interesting. That's good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, we got four games to use him.
Mm-hmm.
We got games like that, didn't use him.
Yeah.
But I'm nervous about this game, as we should be. I'll be nervous all day Saturday.
Well, but are you more nervous about this game than you were Texas Tech?
No.
I'm not either.
Yeah.
I'm not either.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was way more nervous than Texas Tech.
Yeah.
I think we were doing well to Texas Tech, and you knew a stinker had to come along at some point in time. We thought it was the second half, really the second quarter through the end of the game. We thought that was it. Then Kansas ended up being the big stinker. Hopefully we got that out of our system. Yeah. And if our offense comes to play like we think it's going to play, we're going to win this game.
Well, and here's
Win by 20.
Well, here's the other thing. Everybody makes a big deal about Greer throwing three interceptions, having a fumble last week. I would much rather him have that kind of game against a team like Kansas than against Oklahoma, Texas, TCU, Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. I'll take that.
Yeah, exactly. That you knew you need every team. They're all 18 to 23-year-old kids. Every team's going to have a bad game. The question is the championship teams, the teams that go on to win those games.
Mm-hmm.
Every year you have those awful games you play against the team you shouldn't. And some teams lose them, and some teams – Penn State should have lost to Appalachian State.
Yes.
I mean, that could have happened.
Yes.
So, I mean, that is going to happen. The key is if you can win those games and just keep surviving and advancing, then you have things chance to be special.
Yep.
And I think this team has a chance to be special.
I do too.
I'm trying not to be the optimist because I was trying all year not to be the optimist. So I'm still trying not to be. I still think it's going to be a time where our offense is going to score and our defense is not going to stop.
Well, because we're used to having a letdown.
Right, exactly.
We're used to riding high and getting let down.
Exactly. Now, was our letdown last couple weeks?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. We'll find out, but I hope so, too.
So, keys to this game, I'm going to say no turnovers, tackle in open space, play assignments on defense, execute on offense, and help the offensive line out with good play calls.
And we can't put ourselves in bad situations on the road with penalties.
No.
Holding calls, false starts, legal formations. We can't do that.
No.
If we can avoid those and let our offense, because even if we don't gain a yard or lose a yard on first down, I am not as nervous as I was in years past.
No.
When we would do that with Skyler Harris, quarterback, I was like, well,
we're in trouble.
Yeah, this is going to be a punt. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I'm fully convinced that nobody can stop us in between the 20s.
No.
If we have too many options.
Yeah.
If we just keep and go back to the Kansas game real quick, if you watch that replay, we went up and down the field.
Well, it was 3-1 yardage.
Even if we just kick field goals in the red zone when we were there,
It should have been 42-7 at halftime.
At halftime, it should have been 42-7. So I mean, it is what it is. We complained about our offense last week and how bad it was, and still scored 38 points.
Yeah.
I mean, God bless us.
With three red zone turnovers. I mean, hell, there was times when I would take 38 points regardless of
what. We're one of the few teams this year, it's less than 10, who scored 30 point plus in every game.
Yeah.
So, I mean.
I think we're averaging 41 and giving up 18. I think that's what the
And the best defense we played from here on out was going to be Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So, I still think we're going to score. I think we're going to score plenty this weekend. I don't think Iowa State's defense is very good.
Nope.
So I think they managed to stop the teams that don't have any offenses, and then the teams that do have offenses, they had to outscore.
Right.
Or try to outscore. So I think we're going to score. It's just a matter if our defense gets stops, which I have full faith, which I didn't say believe this beginning of the year, will get stops.
So speaking of that, what is your score? Now wait a minute before you do that. Because I've been burned by this shit twice already. I'm going to write my score down.
All right, well, do you want to hear my initial thought? And then I've changed it.
Okay.
Which is not good. Because usually my initial thought, I stay with it, I go with that. My initial thought was 38-30. I thought it would be a lot closer than it would be. But as the week goes on, and I look at their defense and how porous it is, and I think our defense is better than a lot of teams that they've actually played so far, I think we're going to win like 42-24.
18-point win, what's that say?
I can't read your writing. 38-20.
Yes. So we got the same point differential.
Yeah. I think if we are what we think we are, that's what it should be.
Yeah, I agree.
And if we play up to our potential, that's what it should be.
If we play up to our potential, it should be better than that.
They got a true freshman quarterback. Our defense has got some talent. You know, they're young in some places, but we got some talent. We should be able to at least get stops, and our offense should go up and down the field.
Yep.
Should. It all depends on what happens on the game, but it should.
And guess what? We're the sixth-ranked team in the country right now.
Sixth-ranked team in the country. Who would have thought it? October 10th.
I wouldn't have thought it.
One more, I'm going home, I'm going to bed.
One more, I'm going home, I'm going to bed.
All right, let's beat Iowa State.
Let's do it.